When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Steve here. None of the scenarios on this show are based on actual events. Believe it or not, they're completely made up. Enjoy!
I'm Griffin.
I'm Steve. And I'm Bones.
Ooh, close one. And this is Killed to Death.
It's the improvised true crime podcast.
Welcome back, Steve Cook. Steve, I first of all forgot that I had to do a tagline.
Well, you don't have to, but it was a thing that you'd started doing, so I was giving you a pause for it.
I appreciate it. And secondly, I do truly mean that. Welcome back. For the listeners, it's only been a week, but for you, you've been across the globe.
It hasn't been any time, actually, for the listeners, because we recorded the other ones in advance. So, in theory, you could have never mentioned it, and these fools would have never even known.
They wouldn't have known that you're worldly now.
I'm learned, I'm well-read, book smart, and street smart. And
you've
it's all
back
from a little trip across
That's
the
right.
pond.
To Perry and Portugal.
Yes. Combo the two.
Which one is better?
You mash those two names together, it makes Portugal. I took the P from Paris and the Orchigal from Portugal. And what was your question? Which one's better?
Yeah.
Gotta be tough to say. I don't want to insult either of them, but it has to be Paris.
Why?
Oh, my friends were there. It's less lonely.
Portugal, also, you hear that? You got to get more of Steve's friends.
Also, Portugal, which is beautiful and a great food city that I was in, Lisbon, a lot of fish, which I am not a big, I don't mind fish, but my partner is vegetarian, so it was a lot of me being like, all right, I'll try this funny fish dish, but I had to kind of push myself to do it, and I don't know if I'm that much of a fish man.
Wait, I'm sorry.
I tried octopus.
You would have enjoyed Portugal if Heather had been more into fish?
No, I really enjoyed it. I just mean if you're with a group and we're all like getting the fish dishes all the time, then you're in on it. But if you're getting stuff to share, I had to go out of my way to be like, I'm making the choice to get the fish stuff, you know?
Right.
Just to say that I did, to do a credit. And they have
the sea
fish.
Provides kelp.
Yeah, we should have eaten more kelp and algae and seaweed.
I guess plankton still counts as an animal.
From SpongeBob.
Yeah, I guess he counts as an animal. He speaks. He has plans.
Yeah,
he uses the computer.
He has schemes, yeah. Yeah, so all those things. And for all those reasons, I'm grateful to be back.
How was Pearson?
Pearson was actually so great. Don't listen to TikTok. Pearson rules. And it's actually so smooth there and great. And it's effortless and easy.
And you mean as an aside, just in general, don't listen to TikTok. Those recipes suck. The dance
yeah.
moves are lame.
Yeah. Don't listen to those dance moves. Enjoy Pearson. I don't know. Well, you're not on TikTok, but there were a lot of TikToks. Maybe this was more of a
summer
thing.
Oh, really? There's a lot now.
Yeah, you're not on this thing, but it's gotten huge. I keep trying to find the end of it.
I checked it out once and they had like 3 or 4 TikToks.
You watch them a few times and like, yeah, it's good, but like there's so many now. I can barely get through them all.
Steve, we got an exciting Amber Alert today.
We did, yes. Yes. I like that you have no more trip questions You're on to Amber Alerts.
What was your favorite part of the trip?
Yeah, it was no Amber Alerts. I was over there roaming, so they didn't tell me anything on my phone. So,
wow.
No, it's good. All was.
Oh,
well.
You don't want to know that kind of stuff.
I don't want to. Don't tell me about it. Not while I'm over there. I can't do anything. How am I supposed to get involved? Today, I went and did something. Save the day.
For the listeners, I very animatedly just went through all the motions of, should we unpack that? No.
No, we shouldn't. That's why I generally said save the day. We're just not even gonna go near it.
Steve, I saw the Toronto Air Show while you were gone.
That was one of those was my plane.
Oh yeah, that's right. That one pilot flew you back in his biplane as part of the team.
Yeah,
that was you and all your friends coming back from Paris doing the loops.
That's right. It was insane. I was just sitting there with my carry-on, and I was
don't
just...
listen to TikTok. Pearson's fun.
Oh, so funny to imagine. Just like one like regular travel plane amidst all these other ones, also doing the loop to loops. How was your
just
show?
Just luggage strewn across the sky.
Yeah, just falling out of the sky. How was it? Was it loud?
Yeah.
Do you want to solve a murder?
The victim, regular schmegular, found dead on set. Today's guest. Corpse number one, who found the body. Corpse one, hello.
No, it's just been, it's been a difficult few days, and I've really been struggling to piece together how I'm feeling, how to feel at large about those who've passed on.
Sure. Yeah. I can imagine this is a pretty traumatic experience.
Trauma is something that I find we don't address directly enough.
Mm. That's so true. And you, would you prefer that we call you Corpse One? Are you in character now or is there a different name? Okay.
Oh, okay.
I am still in character. Yes. Yes. I found it hard to drop, to pop out in act, you drop in and then you pop out. That's how they say. So when you're ready to enter the role, you drop in and I'm in. Do you hear?
Yeah. So you're post drop pre pop.
Yes. Yes. So you've studied,
Ryerson Radio and Television. It's where I met Steve.
It's where I met Steve. Very nicely enunciated.
Thank you so much. We are, of course, podcasters.
Yes.
Is there a method that you studied in particular?
All in the end. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's where you sit with yourself and you think, what would I do if I was this guy? What would I do right now? And then, lo and behold, the line or no line or action.
Sure.
Sometimes simply putting your fork to the lettuce as main character walks by, you put the lettuce in the mouth. And take after take, the same instinct takes hold. It's interesting because some people find continuity to be difficult. I find it to be easier than walking.
Yeah, because if you just think, what would I do if I were this guy? It becomes very easy.
Yep,
you'd eat lettuce this way, and then you'd eat it that way every time if you're that guy.
Yeah, that guy would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And every time the character walks by, I feel the gentle breeze as her blouse drifts past, and I go, summer. This scene is set in summer.
And they go, cut, you don't have a line, just eat this lettuce.
Yes, that's something that some directors don't appreciate. But it is, after all, part of the method, and we all have to respect each other's space and time. A lot of people are hard on
full
method.
Stop.
They're hard on method.
Did you say we'll stop?
No, sorry.
Oh, it was a...
You took you a nice were, pause you... at a certain point. But you were going to say people are hard on method actors.
I no, I now I get you were being humorous about when I said hard on.
Yeah, that's pretty good, huh?
God, yes, France has wrecked you.
Yes.
Yeah, excusez-moi for that one. A bit blah. I went blah.
You mean blah?
The blur of his face when I walked in.
Now, Corpse One, what is this for? Is this for a TV project, stage, film?
What is what for?
The role of Corpse One.
What role?
The life of Corpse One.
The life that you've embodied.
Now that I can answer Please don't say body. It's very triggering for me right now. I am in a world where someone has passed, and that someone is meant to be me. But unfortunately, on the day my role was taken, sorry, I had to have a sip. I don't know if you heard, but I was getting dry.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Mm-hmm. And you can't act dry.
You can't act dry.
Mm-hmm. Even a movie set in a desert. You got. You hear that? Nobody wants to hear that.
No. Then you get Fury Road, where everyone's incoherent.
Couldn't watch it.
Too dry.
Some real dry guys.
Mm.
Dry guys. No, I was in my trailer and waiting, as you do.
You made the trailer.
I made the trailer.
He was also making a joke about a film's marketing video.
Mm. For me, a film never begins and never is over. You see, I'm still in every movie I've ever done.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot to take on.
I'm every woman. It's all in me.
The all method.
How many movies have you done?
Accredited for none. But if you look for me, you'll find some cameos. I'll just say I've eaten, at many a restaurant.
So this is background acting for the most part.
Sometimes foreground, but that is a special skill. I do find that makes my heart race a little bit. I prefer to be in the background, preferably as close to the ground as possible. I find it hard. The higher I get, the less grounded I feel, the less present I am.
So a lot of corpses.
Yes. Yeah.
But there are.
I've been on CSI Miami, CSI the bad guy one, C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. There is a dead guy. If you look.
Yeah, Mr. Tumnus.
And it's more like Mr. Oneness.
It's more like Mr. Oneness.
You.
Yeah.
You.
We are all. One.
Right.
Back to ones. When they say back to ones, that's what they say. That's what they mean.
You put your fork back down.
Mm-hmm. They say, we are all back to one. We're all one. We are all living the same life. I am the lead. I am the background. I am the director. I am the DOP.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
There are no background actors, only small actors.
And those ones you got to put in the very front. Otherwise, you don't see them.
Yeah, they're also foreground actors.
The smaller they are, the closer to the lens they have to go.
Everyone has to look the same size on screen.
Sing it.
Warming up?
Yeah, this podcast is going to be good.
You never know when you get a call.
Can you give us some tips as to act as a corpse? You sound so experienced in it. You've played a corpse in all these different things. What makes a good corpse?
You gotta think, if I was this guy, and my life had been cruelly taken from me. How would I lie? One leg up, arms akimbo. When I get the call, when Marilyn calls me, I immediately sketch out on I've painted every floor in my house black so that I can go around with my piece of chalk. I can draw the outline. How would this body lie? Would it be, you know, one arm down, the classic, mm-hmm. one arm down, the other arm up, legs as if running to the side, as if in a cartoon sort of run. Get me out of here. I wish this wasn't happening to me. Now I find that tasteless because to me it's not a joke. Mm. It's not a joke. A life has ended. Mr. Tumnus is dead. Mr. Tumnus is dead. He's not coming back. And I popped out.
Sorry, can you repeat that last line? My audio has cut out.
Oh, that was because I popped out. You see, that's why your audio dropped out, because I popped out.
Let's talk about... Steve.
Oh, I was just curious, what about the face?
Sorry, Steve. Steve, I should have sensed that you were about to speak. I apologize. I am learning to listen, and I appreciate space as I learn new information.
Sorry, Steve.
What do you do with your face when you're...
And then, Steve, terribly sorry. I'm sure it's been difficult for you all your life because you speak so suddenly that it's hard to sense it coming. So I'm sure people speak over you a lot. Is that true?
Yeah,
here's my tip for you: is that before you talk, you should do like a big draw in, like right before you start talking, and then we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with your face?
That was a beautiful breath, Steve.
When you
beautiful breath.
Sorry, Steve.
What do you do with your face?
As if through a straw. Do you hear that? As if through a straw opens the diaphragm. Opening. Like this diaphragm. My diaphragm's shut off. You hear that? You hear that?
Shut off.
As if. Shut off. Sorry to swear. Safe space?
It is, but somehow there's an odd moment where you're like, you do cut out. I can see your lips moving, and then your audio comes right back.
But it sounds like the listeners at home, me and Steve didn't catch it, but you've just heard a very special swear, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, yes, you can say fuck or shitting.
Jesus Christ.
Not that one.
You can say that one too.
You know, I consider myself to be a professional, and when I give my time, especially when I'm in a state of trauma, I ask that it be fucking respected. There I go. I've been cheeky.
And you did have
you
us.
See?
You had us there. And that was good.
Really? Being humorous. I did attend the Humber program. Humber program of comedy, yes.
Wow.
Graduated.
Okay. You went to Humber comedy.
I did. Yes.
You know Bruce Puri?
One of my boyfriends. Oh, Brucey boy. Oh, we go way, way back. Yes, Bruce and I trilled our lips as we prepared to take the stage.
Tell us about regular Schmegular. Would you be able to tell us about regular Schmegular before you found them dead?
Sorry, I don't respond to commands before when you said, tell us about regular Schmegular.
That's a pretty good griffin.
I find commands to be patriarchal, and as such I will respond to a question. Would you like to try again?
Please. Here's
you don't have to beg. Don't have to beg. I can hear
you.
I
sound
hear
weak
you
and
prostrated
sad.
Yourself. You do. You sound like you're lying prone on your fold out couch. Please.
Could you please tell us about regular Schmegular?
B beautiful breath. Yes. Regular. Regular. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Beautiful breath.
Beautiful breath.
Regular. Regular.
Gesundheit.
Pass through, you see? You have to let it pass through, or else it will own you. The amount of actors walking around being owned by their emotions. You can see it on them. Amateurs.
So would you were they a lead of this?
I should have read then.
Sorry, Steve.
I should have read then.
You'll get it in time, Steve.
Would you be able to tell us about regular schmegular? Now that the emotions have passed through you?
That was the last of it. We were on our lunch break. And this soul, a human, a good human, is all I can say, sat down across from me, opened their laptop, started doing some work, being sucked into the digital vortex. I sigh whenever I see people pull out their devices. It's hard to stay immersed. The show is set in 1908. A time when there wouldn't have been any MacBook Airs, iPods, Steve Jobs. None of that would have existed. So I question people's impulses when they pull these devices out. I question their commitment to the craft.
So they were an actor as well. Did you already know that?
A fellow. Oh, thespian. No, but good instinct. Good instinct. Good instinct. Yes. Well, thespian we reserve for the stage, but in this case, I will allow it because all the world's a stage, Steve. I used to do that bit down at the comedy bar back in the day.
How did that go? How did that go with an audience?
Oh, they'd be staring. They'd be going, "What is happening?" And then I'd sneak up on them. You have to sneak up, you know, that's the trick with humor, is you can't tell them where you're going.
Yeah, you can't take a big breath before you start talking. You really just have to jump in there. And Steve, I hope you learn that.
I'm getting mixed messages this episode.
Oh, Steve, so close.
Worse, much worse, I think, at my craft, but I'm learning. I'm just trying.
What's the title of this show?
Big Bad Crimes.
Big Bad Crimes, set in 1908. This is like a Murdoch Mysteries.
You know, some might say that, but I would say that it vaults above any crime series ever done before.
These are big bad crimes.
They are. They're bigger, they're badder. They're a bit scary, as my sweet niece says when I turn it on. She's too scary for me, Auntie. And I laugh. I sit beside her. I flick on the old boob tube, and then she goes, "It's too scary. Please turn it off."
You have a British niece?
I do. Wow. I do. I have a British sister, so I have a British niece. I am British.
Known for their acting.
I choose.
Oh, you're British as well.
Yes, I choose. You didn't detect.
No. You're deep in an American character.
American neutral, I told you. Corpse one.
This is what a corpse would sound like.
It is. They wouldn't say sorry. They'd say sorry. Sorry for passing beyond the veil.
Oh, they're sorry that. They went out.
Hey, sorry,
hey,
I died.
Sorry for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, wouldn't you be?
That's what I think more people should have at their funerals, is like a big banner that says sorry.
It really is just a big apology party.
Yeah. Everyone else is saying sorry. And the one person we're not hearing it from.
Every funeral I go to, I'm pissed. I find it
drunk?
Very rude.
That's what the Brits say.
Yes. Yes. I am pissed drunk, but I'm also pissed mad because I find the Irish goodbye to be incredibly rude. If you're going, tell me, thanks for having me.
And had regular Schmegular passed on any kind of message like that to you before they passed on?
Yes. Regular Schmegular, which is, I will impress upon you, is what I called them. Because I thought it was remarkable just how Schmegular they were. There was nothing to set them apart from the average Joe, which in fact is what made them one of the best background actors we had. Completely unnoticeable. Regular Schmegular. Thank you for the compliment.
Except when they pulled out that laptop, it kind of broke the the whole facade.
Yes, then they had dimension, and I thought to myself, I thought, not so background, you know, being sneaking into the foreground there. Playing a bit of a main character here. Mm. I prefer to stay in background mode the whole day. If I'm talking to someone, I'm saying, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga. Of course not.
Well, maybe you should be mouthing it, though, unless you're upgraded.
Yes, I did. I did have that line though in a farming episode we had where I played a corpse who was mowed over by a pack of loose asses, donkeys they called them.
And you said rutabaga
as you were laying there dying. You went rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga.
It was what I had been farming, and I felt that as a farmer, I would have an emotional attachment. I've been raising these vegetables for many months.
That was you saying goodbye to each individual rutabaga, so you didn't Irish goodbye them. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sorry, rutabaga.
I'm sorry I got trampled to death by those asses.
They call them donkeys.
Yes. No, I wasn't asked back on that one, and I felt in the moment.
You died.
Yes, well, there are shows though where I have recurred as a corpse. There's such thing as prosthetics. Also, if you die face down, you're gonna be back.
Plus, I guess maybe you could be a corpse in a body bag.
Well, I'm dead at that part, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
What we're going to do is
take a quick breath. What we're going to do is take a quick breath.
Thank you.
What we're going to do is take a quick breath.
You take a break. I'm going to stay. You take a break.
Sounds good. And Steve will be right back. Here's corpse number one. And me and Steve are back. How was that for you, Corpse One?
I was under imagining what it must have been like for Schmegular.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That could be helpful.
Yourself in their shoes. I learned that it hurt. That wasn't supposed to happen. That's what he thought. That would have been his inner dialogue.
Did you get any insight as to what actually did happen?
He got bonked.
Head, on the head?
Back of the head. Soft spot.
No, they still had the soft spot.
Yeah. We all do.
Oh, yeah?
In case we need to go back in?
Yeah. You never know. My niece keeps trying. She doesn't like it here. She keeps trying to re-enter the room. She calls it. It's a womb. keep trying to get back in there. My sister says, get out, stay out. She says, it's too scary out here.
Oh, the whole world's scary to her. Fair enough.
I get agree. It. I agree. Terrifying place.
Speaking of, you found a coworker, or I guess, I don't know how you would describe it, co-liver? You found
we
a guy
a
dead.
We shared a liver, yeah. As if I heard it for the first time.
Beautiful breath.
Thank you. It's hard when you're in the practice of hearing things for the first time to hear them a second time and not be shocked.
Mm. Where did you find him?
Well, in the exact place where I was supposed to lie. In the very chalk outline laid out for me.
Wow.
I go 10-1. I go for a little walk, collect my thoughts.
For the listener, pissing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Dripping.
He went for a quick drip.
Quick, hot drip. I came back. They said, you're wrapped. We've shot the scene already. I go, what? They go, you didn't fucking hear me the first time? We shot the damn scene. So get out of here, scum, and go back, crawl back where you came from.
This is the AD? Who is this?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it sounds like an AD.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we all have our stresses, and I have to respect that.
It's a scary world.
It is a scary world. And so I said, excuse me, what are you talking about? I haven't shot my scene. He goes, what the fuck are you talking about? Because there was a dead body in that scene. And we all saw it. And we shot the shit out of it. We filmed the whole thing. and then we all watched the playback. So get the fuck out of here.
So did you alert them? Like, who was the one who actually discovered they were for real dead?
Well, regular schmecular, I would say, discovered that they were dead first.
Okay, let's go.
Who's
second?
Number two? Yeah.
The bonker.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
fair.
Let's
number
keep
three.
Running it down. And number three, assuming there weren't any accomplices.
The AD who came by saying, great work. Wow, I've never seen you lie so still before. Oh my God. Is what
You've
I imagine they
been
would have
bunked.
Mm-hmm. Very good. You weren't even there. That was, I felt it.
I learn.
And
I don't
teach. Hey, that was beautiful. Did you see how neither of us jumped in? Because when
well, I think you did.
You left a little pause.
Yeah.
The anticipation. Ah!
And did you say anything after that?
Yeah. You said you learned, I said I don't.
Oh, okay.
And clearly, yeah, because it didn't even read. I think we're getting a call.
Oh, we are. We're getting a Skype
Isn't
call.
Isn't that weird? Mine's silent.
Yeah, it's just vibrating. I'm going to click hello. Is that okay with you, Corpse One?
Mm, yep.
Okay. Hello?
Hello! Hollywood?
No, 'tis but me. Hello?
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 Who is this?
My camera's not on. You're into settings, system preferences. Oh, okay. I see. And the problem is I had tape over the camera. Hello!
I know that voice.
Yes.
There he is.
Hello. 'Tis I. Oh. Corpse 3.
Yes. We've worked together for many years.
Yes.
Met lots of the old murder suicide episodes. We always get the call.
I'm the suicide. Well,
you do have
pleasure.
A tragic look.
Pleasure, thank you. I didn't get your text. Someone had to tell me, because I'm obviously not on my phone, waiting for pickups on this day. I can only assume we're reshooting. Have you heard word?
I heard word that they love how gritty and realistic it was.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Great.
But we'll still get the day right.
Thank you.
Oh, so they're making a bit of a snuff TV show now.
Well, this, it's ridiculous to me because someone who is actually dead can never actually portray properly what it's like to be dead.
Yeah, because they're not Say thinking, it, what would that guy do?
That's right. The moment you're dead, oh, and where is all your training then?
Yep.
The Krakowski
Heaven
method.
Or hell.
Yeah, exactly. And a load of good that's going to do you when you need that training in a back lot, parking lot, set.
Yeah, somewhere in Hamilton.
Eglinton
Some
West.
Closed school yeah, in yeah. Hamilton.
Yes. That's where the training
people,
should be. Go on!
People don't realize that on camera, a dead body reads as an actor pretending to be a dead body.
Thank
Whereas
you.
An actor acting a dead body, completely believable.
If they know what they're doing.
Also, donkeys read as horses. So when we shot the ass scene, all horses.
Mm-hmm.
They read as donkeys. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know these things. A little bit of insider baseball.
Industry secrets.
Voice of an angel.
Double threat.
Corpse number three, what would we know you from? I'm so curious to hear your filmography.
Oh, stop. I've done it all. I was in The Magician's Nephew.
You were so good.
Thank you. I played the dead.
I didn't know they made that into a movie.
They did. Well, they made it into a miniseries, actually, on the BBC, and I played the dead magician.
That's a big role.
Thank you. I got bonked on the head by an apple off the tree.
Say that again. No, sorry, the phrasing was beautiful.
You have to say back to ones.
Back to ones, David.
I got bonked in the head like an apple off the tree. And
I misread my line.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. I was thinking back of all the journeys I've been on as a corpse, and it is often corpse two or corpse three, and I do vary depending. That was my only time as corpse one, and this was before your time, before you started taking all those corpse one roles. But I've done really well. I do often what I do is a drowning corpse. I was in all of the Pirates of Caribbean. I was in a few of different Game of Thrones episodes where they needed drowned corpses, and
sure.
a few reenactments for high sea accidents.
I remember you were in Bridge to Terabithia as the teenage girl they pull out, and I remember being so jarred when it was this old adult man in a wig.
Okay.
Yes, well, the thing about David is David bloats.
I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, who are you talking to?
Well, I'm talking to you, David.
Corpse three.
Sorry, I popped out.
And the year is 19...
Okay.
And I didn't know you popped, and I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. I do it so subtly, it's hard to notice.
Okay.
But corpse three bloats beautifully. Very naturally.
Thank you.
Early morning bloater.
Thank you.
And a lot of us can't do that. A lot of us are naturally, we don't come across that way. Even when we've eaten a ton of salt and we show up at 4 in the morning, we still don't believably bloat.
I bloat. Oh, I bloat. And I often get a little bit of water that trickles out the side of my mouth. And sometimes I sputter. And it's good to get let that last little bit of dying breath out. Of course,
rutabaga.
Well, for me, it's...
My ships! Captain Jack Barbosa!
Well, yes.
Davy Jones!
Yes. That's right.
That's what I did in my...
Wow.
But
of
course,
you were in Pirates as well!
Your hand was there. They had to digitally remove that in post.
Yes. And I was sad because, I thought the character would have done that. The character would have been doing that. But if I were to drown, I would be doing that kind of catch and breath.
But they don't understand. Half of them are absolute amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
Corpse 3, did you know regular Schmegular at all?
Yes. Beautiful actor. One of the most regular I've ever seen. You could put them in a lineup and you would never pick them.
Mm.
Ever.
And I'd seen it done. One time they actually played an extra in a police lineup and they said, we need six people. There's only five. And then the director had to go in and physically walked down the line. And then when it got it startled, he bumped into them. And said, I didn't even realize we had a sixth person here. That's how regular wow. they were. They faded into the background. They get mistaken for a crew member constantly. It was a gift. It was powerful. I felt them losing focus. I felt them losing focus over time. The more we'd see them on sets, the more we'd share a plastic chair at lunchtime and a buffet and salad and fish. And then I noticed they started picking foods not of the era. Not of the time period necessarily, not period
tube of astronaut food.
And then I noticed they started just willy-nilly pulling out their tech and the kind of thing that people in many of these projects just simply wouldn't have. And
no,
a
there'd
lot
be
of...
no Steve Jobs in 1908.
Okay. And you've gone through this, haven't you? Haven't you, Corps One? That is a well-trained man. He's heard this before.
One of the first things I brought up, yes.
Of course. I shouldn't have even needed to say it. Of course, you mentioned it. It was very jarring. And we had it out. Mm-hmm. And we had a bit of a tough... working relationship, I'd say the last 2 days after our big blow up.
Were they also one of the corpses?
Corpse two.
Okay. Now, mm-hmm. did you get a sense? Did all the other corpses kind of feel this way that they were kind of degrading the project like that?
No, you could get a sense.
Yes. It was, there were a lot of corpses in this scene, and the tension as we all lay in our outlines was palpable.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe the scene?
Oh, sorry. No. I should have inhaled.
You should, yeah. Can you describe what the scene it was with all these corpses?
Shall we go there? I am walking down the street. It's 1908. I get bonked. I'm dead on arrival. I was the first one to go. So I really don't know how the rest of the scene goes. See, because I'm Corpse One.
Right.
I'm out cold. I'm out like a light.
Okay, so Corpse Three, maybe you have a bit more insight. I guess you've seen what happened to two other corpses at this point.
I'm walking down the street. It's slightly later in 1908. I see a man ahead of me. What's this? Bonked on the head. With a mallet from the carnival. For the strong man, big bonk knock game.
Yeah, the bell that goes way up and ding if you're strong.
But today he's not strong. He collapses on the pavement. Blood spilling from his head. What's this? A second bonker behind me. Oh, I'm out. Good Lord. And I popped out.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Going back there, it really, I'm sweating.
Challenging.
Just like a corpse, yep.
Yes, I'm as sweaty as a corpse.
So we have at least a potential weapon in a prop mallet from a strongman ding thing.
This was no prop.
That we rehearsed with a bouncy sort of comical prop, something that a Carrot Top might have pulled out in one of his routines.
Yes.
And so when that hit though, it was hard to commit to the hit, as we say in the industry, and I simply would not fall to the ground. I said, I haven't been hit hard enough that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed erect, and they said, we will figure something out for after lunch that hits you hard enough that you will believably fall to the ground.
And...
So wait, do you think... Oh, sorry, I heard an and. I didn't breathe in. You have the right of way.
I was going to say the same thing you were going to say, my friend. And did they swap it out? The answer is yes.
the answer. Two-part answer. They also thought I should come in last because I am slightly taller than the others, so I should be further in the background. So the corpses were switched around. I was put into a corpse number four type situation. Yeah, well,
and then these are the rewrites on the fly. That is just. Mm-hmm. They don't realize the toll that it takes on an actor. And they willy-nilly.
How am I the prep?
Exactly. Exactly. And, oh, I'm sorry. Are we shooting this 2 weeks from now? Oh, I didn't realize we were pushing this all 2 weeks. Oh, no, it's this afternoon. Oh, it's after our gruel at lunch. Nice. Oh, really nice. Ridiculous. I only have the gruel. That's all they had in 1908. But this now means, of course, number two was bumped to one. Whether we agreed with it or not, regular smegular was to be number one.
Regular smegular was bumped up. Now, non sequitur, I have tried the gruel, but I found that it irritated my stomach so aggressively. Mm-hmm. That is why I took... I'm going to confess, not a 10-1. The gruel took me to a place that wasn't conducive to acting, and I needed to evacuate myself because corpse number four, I didn't feel like they were the kind of guy who would be acting on a full stomach, who'd be walking around town on a full stomach. You know, they're dirty, mud on the face, mud under the nails. They're empty.
Nothing on the inside.
And that's interesting, because, and also, feel no shame. We have all said 10-1 when we're off to do a 10-2.
I really think people got to start taking that code system more seriously. Everyone says 10-1, and then they are gone for a while. People got to be more honest. I'm curious.
And if I'm honest, it was a 10-3.
And is that just both?
Do you want us to guess?
Yep.
Okay.
No, you got it first try.
Okay, 1 + 2. Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you. And that is nothing to be ashamed of, but I only wish that it had been a 1, only so that you could have been there and maybe would have seen what happened.
Well, I'm going to say this. I think it was a good thing that you weren't there, because it sounds like what happened is they just switched out the fake mallet for a real one and then killed the guy who went first.
Now, this is an interesting hypothesis.
And this is why the AD was so mad. Because he killed someone.
And that wraps up another successful episode of Killed to Death. It was the AD who, of course, would be the one to bonk on camera with a mallet. And it turned out it was real this time, not like the prop ones. Hit regular Schmegular, who had been bumped up to corpse number one just a bit too hard. You, luckily, had been spared by the gruel that made you evacuate.
Spared by the gruel, title of my autobiography, coming out in a while. It's hard to write. I'm learning that it's hard to write. I have more respect for the writers now as they do their rewrites on the fly.
And speaking of plugs...
yes, go on, sorry.
You haven't learned anything.
No! But I'm glad I could help. Goodbye.
You can email killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com if you have a suggestion for a murder or a compliment for either me or Steve. You can follow Kill to Death Podcast on Instagram or K2Dpod on Twitter if you'd like to comment a compliment for me or Steve. You can leave a review. You can guess what we want there. And I think that's everything. We turn now to corpse number one. Corpse number one, it sounds like you're not quite ready to plug your book. Is there anything else you want people to check out in the meantime?
I struggle with the word plug. A gas lamp, a spark. I would like to spark people to check out the interesting work of a young actor named Claire McConnell on a show on our competitor's show, but I learn from watching her how would a woman walk around in 1910. It's called Murdoch Mysteries. And you know what? It's on Mondays.
I did not know that.
You did not know what?
That Claire McConnell was in Murdoch Mysteries.
Well, the premiere, in fact, is tonight at 8 p.m. last season ended on a cliffhanger of Claire McConnell's wedding. A freeze frame as someone bursts in through the doors.
And for listeners, that premiere will have happened a few weeks back. You now have a few episodes of the new season to watch.
Probably on Jam.
Go catch up. Now you've got a few. That's great. Binge it.
Is that it?
I think that's it. Steve, welcome back.
Oh, yeah. Steve, my internet was being spotty for a second there. But I'm back.
There he is.
Yeah, I'm back. Check out House of the Dragon.
House
watching
of the
that
Dragon.
Yet, Griff? You're watching that yet?
I am now watching it. I am all, as of today, I'm all caught up.
Ooh.
Currently, four episodes
talk
in.
Talk about it after.
Yeah. Listeners, you don't get to know what I think.
Oh, well, you could just say what you think. I just didn't want to, you know.
No, I want them to email in with a guess.
Guess if Griffin likes it or not.
That is a good guess. I think I know where you stand. And that's all I'll say.
You have to email in as well.
Yeah, I'm going to email in guessing what both you and I think of the show. And also, that now goes for Murdoch Mysteries. Anyone can write in and say what they like about it.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah, baby.
Let us know.
We'll pass them on to Claire.
Yeah, email the official Murdoch Mysteries email account, killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com, if you have a suggestion for Murdoch Mysteries.
Or a suggestion for a mystery. For a mystery.
Mm-hmm. That's where I get all my call sheets from killtodeathpodcast.com. You've been sending me to some weird places.
And funnily enough, I'd like to quote one of the Red Green writers, Bruce Peary, used to write on the Red Green show. One of the people who I'm sure was involved in coming up with our iconic closing catchphrase. Listeners, keep your stick on the ice.
Love you, Brucey.
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitzky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Brady Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mangiardi, Katie Lohr, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
Has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.